Hallelujah. You can open up to Philippians chapter 3. Again, Pastor Bronk taught a message right out of this passage within the last week or so. And I did not know then, of course, that I'd be doing the message that I did this morning. And I read this prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk that says, stay in intimacy, the rain is coming. Well, the rain, we're all thinking revival, right? The outpouring that we've been contending for, and I believe that is correct. But stay in intimacy. So I'm going to summarize real quickly the last half of the message this morning from Luke 11, where the disciples would watch Jesus go spend time with the Father. He might be all night in prayer. And then they'd watch when he'd come out of those seasons. Boy, the power would manifest. The blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf would hear, devils would be cast out, and even the dead were raised. So if you kept seeing a pattern like that, okay, he goes to be with the Father, then we see all this power, then he goes to be with the Father, and then we see all this power. I think I would ask too, we can't hear you when you're over there. There's no reason to ask if you heard it, right? So obviously they couldn't hear what he was praying. Now sometimes they did, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, somebody heard him, apparently. A stone's throw away, well, if you're a stone's throw away, and you're speaking loud at all, I can hear that. So anyway, though, would you teach us to pray? So he starts off with the Lord's Prayer, and one of the sentences in there is, give us day by day, or give us this day our daily bread. Now again, in Matthew 6, when he expounds on that, he focuses on your personal daily bread, your provision and your needs, trying to deliver us from fear so that we don't spend our whole life seeking after money. We can spend our whole life seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He was assuring us that if we'll do that, all these things shall be added unto us. So in Matthew 6 account of the Lord's Prayer, he was emphasizing bread, meaning your personal provision. But in Luke 11, when he teaches on it, and almost word for word teaches the same prayer, there he emphasizes on a different kind of bread. And this is really talking about the anointing, that when you meet anybody or somebody comes to you, and they need, again, I'll use the box. This is calling in the lost. I'll lift up. Here's some pictures of our friends. These are impossible cases, according to the world. Medical science is not able to put a brain in somebody that only has a partial one. Medical science today doesn't have really an answer for Tommy Perez. He's had the very best medical science that there is, and he's not well. He can't walk up, he can't walk on his own two feet. He can't walk up here and talk to you. He can't tell a testimony, and so he needs bread. Now, the world doesn't have the bread. The church, including ours, for the most part, hasn't had the bread. But how many of you think God has the bread? The kind of bread that will give Tommy Perez everything he needs to stand up right out of that wheelchair, be able to walk up anywhere, walk in here and give his testimony what great things the Lord has done for him. Same thing with Victoria, Marvinus's daughter. I have no problem in myself believing God can just plop a brain in there, and also pretty educated, where she already knows how to talk. Wouldn't it be something if she came? Wouldn't it be something? Won't it be something the day that Victoria walks up in here, takes the microphone, and tells herself how God gave her a brain? Now, that's the kind of anointing. That's the bread that we're talking about. Nobody on earth has it. But that delivery of the supernatural bread, the anointing of the Holy Ghost in power, is exactly what we're called to deliver. And in this one, it won't be just the Wigglesworths and the Brannons and the big names. This time, it's going to be Joel's army. You'll be delivering the bread along with everybody else. Well, so God gives this prophecy through Pastor Bronk here. And I'm just going to read the blue parts again. I'm not going to keep you real late tonight. Don't need to, midnight, 1, 2, something. Anyway, this one sentence where God talks about true worship, that in worship and true adoration, more can be accomplished in you through my Spirit than hours of preaching and teaching. And actually it says more can be deposited in you than months of preaching and teaching. Now preaching and teaching is good. Isn't that right? We're supposed to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and in God our Father. It's good to grow in knowledge. We're supposed to grow in knowledge. But what he's talking about here is something you receive only through intimacy. So just a couple of sentences. All truth lives in intimacy. What a sentence. All truth lives in intimacy. See, I see this when I have to follow him. When you're at home, of course nowadays not so many people have it, but in my mother's and her mother's generation, it was absolutely almost required that in a prominent place in the living room, usually on the coffee table, there had to be one of those giant Ark of the Covenant, giant Bibles, you know, laying right there, either black or white. And many of them even had your family genealogy going back several generations and presented to, you know what I'm talking about. Now that big Bible laying there, if it's a, you know, good Bible, like a King James, is that truth? Well, absolutely. It is the truth, but it's not living. Now it is, because the Word of God is alive and sharp and powerful, you know. It's very much like your battery in a car or a battery in his phone. They're making those batteries better and better. I mean, I use the fire out of this thing. I charge it up every night, but I mean, I use this thing all day long and I seldom ever have to charge it again before nightfall. But if the battery gets used up, there's no power. Boy, this is good. I didn't replay. This is exactly what the Lord's saying. The Bible laying on your coffee table, it is a perfectly good battery. You get the analogy? It's like my phone, got a perfectly good battery. But my phone, yes sir, has to have intimate fellowship with an electrical outlet somewhere. That's really tonight's message. It has to spend time. Now, some of them now you can charge Wi-Fi. But can I say it this way? My phone has to be in intimate fellowship somehow with electricity. Because even though it's a perfectly good battery, it will have no power. Boy, that is good. That just came now on the fly. That is good stuff right there. Because that's the message exactly that the Lord is delivering through this prophecy. And even more so tonight, we're going to look at a little more. But that Bible has truth. You know, drunks can have Bibles laying on their coffee table. People having adulterous affairs on their wife. Maybe, I bet you there's a lot of homes where that's going on and there's a big old Bible laying on the coffee. The truth is there, but without intimacy with it, without intimacy with God, and without intimacy, it doesn't live. It has the potential to live. It has the potential to change your life. This battery has the potential. I can find out the time right now in Australia. I can check my email. I can do my WhatsApp. I've been getting messages from around the world all day long for my birthday. You know, I mean, it's amazing what all this can do if the battery is charged. But if the battery goes dead, it's a perfectly good battery. Not a thing wrong with the battery. But how are you going to, oh boy, run again to the power source. That's probably the title for tonight. Run again to the power source. Write that down, baby. We've got to tell Angie later. Run again to the, that's exactly right. And then it gets recharged. Boy, this goes right along with last week's lesson about the times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. You remember what the Greek word is, translated presence there, what it really means? Face. Face. You've got to get in His face. You got, what I mean is time with Him. The analogy this morning from Luke 11, we all been wanting the bread, and it's not like he's withholding really, but Jesus put it in that passage. I never saw it so clear till after this prophecy came through Bronk. Why is it in there about you got to seek him? If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll open. If you ask, it'll be given. And I saw a little movie play in my mind. It's like Gary has been, I do love God. If you don't think I love God, you better follow me around a little bit. You'll find out I do. I do love God. I want to serve God. When I pray, I want the anointing and fire of the Holy Ghost to just go unhindered into that person. And don't you too. But in this little movie, I saw Gary. And it's not that I don't love God. It's not that I don't spend time in prayer. Sue knows I do. But there's something in worship has always been the most difficult part of this message for me. And I don't know why. I don't know if I'll ever understand why. But anyway, it's just the way it is. So I saw this little movie, and here's Gary outside the castle wall. I know God lives in there. I'm asking for the bread, and I know he's got the bread. Now, the first thing from this morning, the devil's going to tell you, remember how he answered? My children are with me in bed. I can't give up. What does that imply? You're not my child. Isn't that good? That's the Holy Ghost. I'm not that smart. But you're not my child, and you can't have it. And the end of that story was, well, if you just keep on, you'll get it, you know, not because you're his friend. But see, later on in that same passage, Jesus, he totally refutes that. He says, if any man has a son, that will ask. See, Jesus is bringing it the truth. You're not an outsider, a stranger, standing out on the porch of God's castle, like, please give me the bread. You are his child. If you seek, knock, and ask, you are going to get an entry in there. But the bread comes by you spending time with him. You've got to go in there. You've got to go. Gary, I kept seeing this little movie of me because of my reluctance to do that. I see me like I know I'm his son, but I'm still in this movie. I was outside, walking outside the castle wall. Give me the bread. I'm going to pray 10 hours so you'll give me the bread. And God says, the bread's in here. See, that's what he's saying. The bread's in here. I am the bread. Come in here. You want bread? Now I want to stay out on the porch. And I'm going to keep asking and asking and asking. I'm going to bug you till you know. You just give it to me anyway. So it's almost like I was hoping. Now again, I'm from Shawnee. Come on. Pottawatomie County. I wanted bread to be thrown over the wall like biscuits. Oh, here comes the bread. Good. I didn't have to go in there. Here's the bread. Well, why is that in there then about seek and you shall find? Knock and the door will be opened. And if you ask, it'll be given you. Why is that in there? If it's not to go in there and get the bread. And it's interesting how he ends that story by saying, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now I know we've already got the Holy Spirit. We have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can all chandelier along with anybody else, okay? But we also, if we're honest, we'll say we're not carrying a whole lot of bread. Not the kind you give to others. We have some. I'm not saying we don't have any. We have some. But not the kind that we're looking for revival. I am convinced after that prophecy and what he showed me there in Luke 11, if you want the bread, you got to go in the house. If you want the bread, you got to go spend time with him same way Jesus did. If you want the bread, you're going to have to come away with him. Actually, yes, sir. What's happening now, I'm remembering words from the face-to-face about becoming continually aware of his presence. See, Jesus said, I am always with you. The truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit's in you all the time because Jesus said when he comes, he's not going to leave. So you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Catherine Kuhlman said her favorite prayer was, take not your Holy Spirit from me. But the other thing, she said that was the most important word. Her favorite word was, keep me as the apple of thine eye. Well, see, that reminds me again of the analogy with my lily cakes. When You couldn't see it right now, but I could show you a picture of little Briley Mae. See, Sue and I are at the age now where our grandchildren are having children. Briley Mae is our first grandchild, great-grandchild, great-grandchild. And sadly, they live up near, well, I don't mean, anyway, they live up around Chicago, not too far from there. We've only got to see Briley twice. Two, when they came here, and that one time we went there, and boy, she's growing like a weed. I mean, she's going to be 2 years old in March. And it's amazing how tall she already is. And Sue's like, we're missing it. We're missed. But anyway, for this analogy, used to be Lily because she was that age, but now we got little Briley Mae. Briley can't tie her shoes yet. But let's say Briley had a real good relationship with her grandpa. She will have. She doesn't. It's long distance right now. All right. I'm in a high-level meeting back there with Mike Ryan because Mike handles millions for the gospel. And he and I are right in a meeting. We're praying. We're talking. We're going to move this many million from this to this, and we're going to move that many million from that to that. And I'm going, boy, that's good stuff, Mike. And we're right in the middle of this high-level. In fact, it could be Mike, but we've got two Mikes in there. Anyway, right about that time, we're conversing about these major, major things. And little Briley Mae comes in. Comes right up. I say, oh, hey. Yeah, Briley, come on in. What's the matter, honey? Oh, Johnny, you have to be quiet for a minute. Those millions, hold that talk for just a minute. What do you need, honey? Papa, my shoe. She's not old enough yet to tie her shoe. That meeting is going to stop. That little girl is the apple of my eye. And she can seek, knock, and ask anytime. And if it's in my power, she's going to have what she came for. But it's all based on, it's not based on anything Briley has ever done, good or bad. It's not based on, did you go to church last Sunday? Did you tithe? Did you poop your pants again? Did you? What is it based on? Faith worketh, it's relationship. Faith worketh by love. That little girl, there's not anything she can ask me that's not hers if it's in my power. Jesus said, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said unto you, ask. And you shall receive, that the Father be glorified. That your joy may be full. Now, hold out your hands just for a minute. Excuse me. Since we all know Victoria, let's pick on Victoria tonight. Victoria is the girl who's a teenager now, I believe. She's the one born with a partial brain. Not her fault, not her parents' fault. Birth defects. We've taught on that before. It's part of the original fall. It's not her fault she's not healed. She can't even really learn. But now let's just say for a moment, during this outpouring, it's you. And you really hear the Lord. In the same way that the Lord sent that man Ananias to lay his hands on Paul, who was blind at the time, and the Lord told Ananias, you go lay your hands on him. And Ananias obeyed, and when he laid his hands on him, Paul received his sight, and also got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because we know that, because Paul says, I spoke with tongues more than you all. Get filled with the Holy Spirit now. Hold out your hands. You go in the presence of God. You spend time there with him. Maybe it's you. Let's just say it's you. I have an assignment for you. You're the one that's going to lay, I want you to go to the house. I want you to lay your hands on Victoria's head, and I want you to command a new brain, a fully functioning brain, and I will do it. Now that's where we're going. That's where we're going. But I'm seeing it so clear that intimacy only comes through fellowship. It only comes through worship. It comes through being constantly aware. I heard, listening to Catherine Kuhlman again this week. I'm hoping we'll get into Philippians 3. Okay. I listened to another message by Catherine Kuhlman this week. And she said, the Holy Spirit, she talks with Him all day long. All day long. And I thought, boy, He said that. He said that so plainly way back in the face-to-face documents. Know that I am with you. Lack of awareness is the number one thing that has to be dealt with. You must become aware that I am with you. And literally, He's a person. He's not just a presence. He's not just a power. He is a person, and He can be grieved. He can be blessed. But mainly what we do is we ignore Him. We treat Him like He's not in the room. There's that lyric in that song, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. See? I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. Bronk has been having seasons, and I don't know for how long, but during his early morning prayer times, he said, it's like, I can't really see him, Bronk says, but he says, I know where he sits. I said, and I know where I sit for my prayer time. And he comes. I can't see him. But he's seated, and it, you know, on the, I can't see where he's talking about, but he says, well, he's seated right there in those mornings. And I know he's right there. And he says, I always have all of these things I want to talk to him about until he comes. He said, I'm going to have to start writing them down and have them ready, because when he comes, then I only want him. And I'm so in His presence, I can't even think of anything else, Harley. I'm just in Him. Boy. Now that brings us to Philippians chapter 3. And Bronk actually taught this using this passage. And this is, everyone, all of you guys, I know for sure, know Philippians chapter 3 pretty well. This is where Paul first gives his pedigree. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And that's given all of his credentials, his pedigree as a good Jew. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Now, that doesn't mean he was perfect, because nobody was, but it does mean that every time he would fail, he'd offer the appropriate sacrifice, and by doing that, he was blameless when it came to the law. But boy, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All of that, he said, in a few minutes. The next verse, he says, I count them but dung. Bronk said, just in case you're not a Greek scholar, that's poop. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. He's talking about sonship. He's talking about the gift of righteousness, a new spirit on the inside of you the very day that you were born again. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Now here's the verse. Here's your intimacy verse. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Well, I'm telling you right now, that is the message of the prayer center. It always has been. Knowing Him and mortifying the flesh to the point that we're conformed into the same image. Now, it's important that you know, because the message, the way it's worded here in this prophecy, stay in intimacy. Now, I'm not going to get vulgar here, and neither was Paul. But Paul knew what word he used in this passage. See, in the Greek language, there are several Greek words you can use for the word know, to know something. And there are several he could have chosen, but he on purpose chose this one. Really, it wasn't Paul choosing it. I know it was the Holy Spirit choosing it. When it says, that I may know him, in the Greek language, that is exactly the same word that is used when you talk about a man, a husband, knowing his wife. It's talking the most intimate thing that a husband and wife can do. It's so intimate, nobody ever sees it, yet it is precious and holy. It's pleasurable, it's enjoyable, but it is only between a man and his wife. But it's the most intimate thing, the most intimate. Let's just leave it there. And Paul uses the same word. Of course, not in the same way that a man knows his wife. But what he's saying is, the closeness of that relationship, that fellowship, I want to know Jesus that way. I want to know Jesus as well as a man knows his wife. I want to know him. And you're thinking, Paul, you've already served the Lord for decades. You served him to the point you're writing this letter from a prison cell in Rome. Paul, I would have said, if anybody on earth knew him, it would be you. And I think he did know him. I think you know him to an extent. I think I know him to an extent. But Paul, if we continue on, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now look, that resurrection of the dead is not talking about a future event, by the way. He's talking about walking in the resurrection life that's been given him. The same resurrection life that raised Jesus from the dead, the same resurrection life that raised you from the dead species of Adam and changed your spiritual DNA to become a child of God. That's what it's talking about. He says, I'm wanting to walk in the fullness of that. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Say it another way. He has a plan for my life. I mean, you can tell from the book of Acts, Jesus had a plan for Paul's life, did he not? He even told Ananias part of it. He told Paul. He told Paul, even on that first day, if you read it all, the account he gives later on in Acts, that he would be called to the Gentiles and suffer all kinds of things, which means Christ had a plan for his life from the beginning. Paul says, I still haven't fully apprehended everything that he apprehended me for. But I am pressing toward the mark. I am pressing toward that mark. Whew. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here it is. I press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he exhorts us to do the same. Now, going back to this prophecy just for a moment. I am not looking for mechanics in these days. In other words, he's not looking for the legalistic hours that we put in. That's not where it is. I am looking for intimacy. All truth lives in intimacy. All studied truth and all meditated truth, though it may be truth, if it's not immersed or mingled with intimacy, it will only be formulas. But I say unto you, take hold of every moment of intimacy, both in the service and at your place in private worship. Let these things go deep into your heart. Now the rain is coming. The spiritual rain from heaven is coming, and though it has been prophesied and prophesied, not only in this house, but in many places worldwide, the rain is coming of my presence. Look how he worded it. Wasn't it just a week or two ago, he said to me, this revival that we're contending for shall be known as a presence revival. Presence. The rain is coming of my presence and of my glory. Well, that's your manifestation. Like man has never seen. What a statement. What a statement. Man saw the Red Sea split in two. Before that, they saw 10 plagues fall on Egypt supernaturally. Man has seen the dead raised. Lepers healed in an instant. So many things that man has seen, but he's going, the rain that is coming of my presence, my glory, like man has never seen. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Let us become so narrowly focused on the things he's called us to do, we would not miss it, no matter for $1 million. Dave used to talk about, you know, you become a target when you really start praying and fasting and doing those things. So you're doing those things and a boulder, a demon. Y'all remember he kicks a boulder loose on the mountain. It's so big it rolls down, crushes your house, crushes your car, and crushes you. Every bone in your body is broken. Nothing works. But somebody driving by saw you and you're going down the road just being moved by your earlobe. Y'all remember that? Nothing else works. This one ear is dragging you along the highway by your ear. Somebody stops and says, did you see your house? Didn't you see your car? You're all busted up. What are you doing? I am going to prayer. Let us have that resolve. Let us have that resolve. I am looking forward not only to Marvinus and Victoria and Tommy Perez, but boy, just hearing this, how many want to walk through the children's hospital and carry that anointing, carry that bread? I'm seeing it so clear again now from Luke 11. That's why Jesus would spend those long times alone, just him and the Father. He's recharging the battery. Can I say it that way? He's being refilled by the very presence of God. And the very presence of God is the Holy Spirit. Oh my Lord, there's a filling coming like we've not known before. And then a filling and a filling and a filling and a filling. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. And he wrote that to Spirit-filled people. What we would call it, they spoke in tongues. He wrote it to Spirit-filled people, and to them he says, be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek actually says, be being filled. Be being. We got to get back under the faucet, or your cup's going to go dry. Isn't that right? You got to recharge the battery, or eventually, it's not that you won't be a battery, but there's just no power. Boy, if that doesn't describe the church, dear Lord. So I'm going to close with this, and I think I really am closing today. Notice I said think. Even in comparison to the book of Acts, these things will supersede them. Hey, one of the things in the book of Acts, if you just got within shadow length of Peter, you got healed. Just got within shadow length. We're going to see greater things even that was seen in the book of Acts. But this next sentence. But it will only be done through intimacy and your spending time with me. I want to be like that man. If there's nothing left but my earlobe, I want it to be dragging me to prayer. I want to spend my time not only in prayer, but in worship, in the Word. And you might as well start preparing for fasting or starting some intermittent fasting. I think there's going to be a lot of fasting this year. Say it with me. I want to know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings, Father, I want to be made conformed unto his death, so that I may attain to the resurrection. So I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. Let's walk like resurrected people. Let's spend time in his presence so that times of refreshing can come from the face of the Lord. That word refreshing, again, it's only used one, the Greek word's only used one time in the New Testament. The Hebrew word for it in the Old, it was only used one time in the Old Testament. That's last Sunday night's lesson that you can get. But the word for presence, the word for refreshing literally means a recovery of breath. It's like you ran a marathon and I need more. It's like a battery. You Star Trek fans. I'm giving her all the power she's got, Captain. The dilithium crystals, they're almost used up. Sometimes your dilithium crystals. You guys are too young if you don't remember that. Hallelujah. The battery's got to be recharged. The cup's got to be refilled. In a new way that I never quite understood before, this is a time of seeking, knocking, entering, and asking. You are his child. That devil was lying, telling you you're not his child. You are his bridal may. You are the apple of his eye. When you walk in there and you want something, you are going to get it. Because that's what he said. Everyone who asks receives. But you got to be in his presence to receive it. The times of refreshing come from his face. Comes from his presence is what you can't get it without. The biscuit's never going to come flying over the wall. Well, it might by the gifts. Okay. But what we're talking about, that resident anointing. Resident, you got to go in there and spend time with him.